Gospel reading for today focuses on Luke chapter 11, as we mentioned. It's focusing in on prayer, the disciples wanting to know how to pray. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.' Then he said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him." Then the one inside answers, "Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything." I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the gospel of our Lord. Well, just about all of us have learned to live with those automated answering machines. You know, for a time there, you had the machine that sat by the phone, but now everything is kind of digital, and you get voicemail, or you call up a company, and there's those automated services. You know, hit 1 for this, and you get that, or hit 2 for this, or 0, and you may get somebody live on the other end. You just never quite know. Well, it is one of those things that has become such a way of life that one author wondered, what if God decided to install an answering service for his throne of grace? I'm going to put up a little picture. This might give you just a little bit of an idea of what that might look like. But here's also what it might sound like. Imagine praying and hearing this. "Thank you for calling my father's house. Please select one of the following 4 options. Press 1 for a request. Press 2 for a thanksgiving. Press 3 to complain. For all other inquiries, press 4. Okay, well, you press 1, and this is what you hear. "We're sorry. Due to heavier than expected volume, please try your call again later. Your business is important to us." Or, how about this? "All of the angels are helping other customers right now. Please stay on the line. Your call will be answered in the order in which it was received." Or how about this one? "Our computers indicate that you have called once today already. Please hang up and try again tomorrow." Now, I don't know about you, but when I go to call upon God in prayer, if I had that kind of a response from God, I might be irritated, to say the least. But I kind of wonder if you spin that around, put yourself in the place of the Lord as Abraham was praying. How would you feel about that? You know, first he asked for 50. Okay, Abraham, I got it. We'll do it. Okay, how about 45? All right, 45. How about 40? Okay, come on now. I really got to get going. I mean, Abraham continues to beg and to ask because he knows how few righteous people there are in Sodom. And in the end, there weren't even 10, right? And both Sodom and Gomorrah were completely wiped out. But what did God do? He still rescued Lot and his family. There was still an avenue for salvation there that God provided for the righteous people in those cities. And yet, Abraham pleading, if we were the Lord having to listen to that, some might call him persistent. The Lord sure does, but we might call him more an irritant than anything else. And yet, that is precisely the kind of boldness, persistence, that God invites us to have as we pray. Look at the example Jesus gives. A man is unprepared for guests to arrive. Maybe they just dropped in, who knows, out of the blue. But in the middle of the night, this guest arrives, and the household has nothing to offer. Apparently forgot to go to the grocery store early that day, or the marketplace, or whatever it was. Has nothing to offer. And so he goes to his friend next door, knocks on the door. I tell you, Jesus said, though the friend will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, the constant banging that takes place, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Think about it in terms of, you know, little ones standing next to mom and, mom, 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 oh, what? If that's what God wants from us. Here's what he says, I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Now the knock on the door may seem kind of an extraordinary circumstance. And so I thought I'd give you an example this morning of a knock in the middle of the night. There was a couple, 3 o'clock in the morning, and a pounding on the front door. They could faintly hear a man's cries for help. It was in the midst of a snowstorm, and the man was asking for a push. He must be stuck in the snow if he needs a push, but the husband was hesitant. After all, it was cold outside, and he was warm and in bed. The lights were out in the house, so the guy didn't know for sure that somebody was home. He just kind of assumed. So if they didn't answer the door, maybe he'd just move along, right? Besides, the man was kind of slurring his speech a little bit, so it sounded like maybe he had been drinking and probably got what was coming to him, right? So he wasn't going to get out of bed. His good wife, however, reminded him that he himself had received help many times in his life. Here was a man who was in need and an opportunity to help. Well, kind of pricking his conscience slowly, reluctantly, the man got out of bed. Bundling up, he called out that he was on his way and stepped out the front door into the snowy cold. But at first he couldn't see even where the man was. He said, "You said you need a push. Where are you stuck?" A voice from the right playfully said, "I'm over here on the porch swing." He was asking for a push. Now, the extraordinary truth of all this is that we are no more deserving of receiving help than that man on the swing. I mean, when we were born, our direct access to God was blocked by the stout door called sin. The prophet Isaiah puts it this way, "Your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." Yet here we are today and every day, allowed, invited, encouraged to approach that door and call for help, to ask, to seek, to knock for anything that we need, anything that we want, anything that weighs on our hearts, all the while knowing that our dear Heavenly Father will have good things in store for us. After all, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And it doesn't even matter what we ask because, I mean, he's already given us the greatest gift he possibly could. Anything else that we could possibly ask for, how much easier is that? I mean, he's given us his only son, lost in our condemning, separating sinfulness. We didn't know what we needed to even ask for it. And yet, graciously, he gives us the priceless gift of his own son, as the Savior from the very sin that separated us from him in the first place. Now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. we have confidence by the blood of Jesus to approach the throne of grace as Abraham, as dear children, to approach the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. We're invited to approach, and get this, it actually matters. The third petition of the Lord's Prayer reads, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Did you notice that Luke didn't write that down? That in his account of the Lord's Prayer, that he didn't include "your will be done"? Some have said that it was so obvious that the Lord's will is to be done that Luke doesn't even include it in his copy, if you will, of the Lord's Prayer. But Luther explains the petition this way. He says, "God's good and gracious will is certainly done with or without our prayer, but we pray in this petition that it may be done among us also." So let's get this straight. If God's will is done with or without our prayer, then what's the point of praying? Right? I mean, if God's just going to do what he wants anyway, why even ask? Well, understand the will of the Lord. The moving cause of the Lord's will, the thing that motivates him to do what he does, to act as he does, is twofold. There are two reasons. And the first is the internal cause, like his love for you, his compassion for you. But the other cause is external, like your needs, your actions. That means that when the Lord hears our prayer, he will both act in his grace for our benefit, and he will consider our actions, our attitudes, and our requests as he acts in the way that is best. Think then of the confidence and the boldness we can have as we approach our dear Father. Our prayer is not so much the pennies that you toss down a wishing well, wishing, hoping that something may happen, but kind of expecting that nothing really will. We don't have to be afraid of calling God in prayer and finding an answering service on the other end that may or not be too busy for us. No, we have a dear Heavenly Father that is always willing to listen, never too busy to hear, always ready to provide every good and perfect gift, in the full confidence of knowing that every single one of our prayers, even if we don't know what to pray for, that we have the Holy Spirit himself bearing our prayers to the very heart of our Heavenly Father who longs to hear them. So we're invited to pray. We're assured that our prayers make a difference. But what if I don't get what I'm asking for, huh? I can remember as a kid that it was being taught that there were three answers to prayer. What are they? The first one? That's the one we like the most, right? Yes. Second one? No. Third one? Wait, not yet. Something like that, right? Well, in my years of Christian life and in my pastoral ministry, I kind of wonder if that second one really even exists. You know, I get the yes, and I get the not yet, but what about that no? And I think sometimes fear of that word no keeps us from asking. Nah, he's just going to say no anyway. Why should I even ask? Why should I bother? He's just going to say no. In fact, it keeps us from asking for many things in life because we don't want to hear that word no. But look at how God is described here. Listen to how Paul encourages us in the Ephesians. He calls on us to pray to him who is able to do more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. See, even if our dear Father doesn't give us exactly what we're praying for, he isn't saying no. He's actually giving us something better, something more than all we ask or imagine. And not according to our limited power and understanding, but according to his power that is at work within us. I recently heard an account about of an individual who's having a lot of difficulties at work. And the prayer was, fix this? Well, the individual, about 3 weeks later, ended up getting fired. Now, is that what the prayer is for? No. And yet, what was interesting about it in the aftermath over the next several months, there were certain benefits that were available because the individual had been fired, and then now new job training and a new job on the horizon, something that never would have happened. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm having difficulty at work, I don't pray to be fired. I don't think any of us would. And yet that's what God takes and he uses in ways that we can't understand, beyond our understanding, but according to his power that is at work within us. So the simple thing this morning, my dear friends, the Lord says, pray. Pray boldly, pray confidently, pray with certainty. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened.